Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you
made in the first verse of the Bible is to make everybody know that he can make something out of nothing. That means that when you find yourself in life, when you think you have nothing, God can still make something great out of your life. When you say that you have nothing, or when other people think you are nothing, God can still make something great out of your life. Amen? Because he created the heaven and earth out of nothing. Hallelujah. And that's the difference between God and man. Today, people are manufacturing a lot of things. Every now and then, we have new inventions. A lot of inventions, a lot of products being manufactured. By every manufacturer, they have raw materials that they take. And every raw material is God who created them. They take it, put it together, produce a product. All the clothing we are wearing came from cotton, most of them. But God created the earth out of nothing. He didn't have any raw material, but he created. Amen? And the Bible said, when he began to create, he created in a specific order. He created the heavens first before he created the earth. He said, how do you know? Because the Bible mentioned heaven first and the earth. So God created heaven. Heaven is where? Heaven is a spiritual place. It's the realm where God exists now. And the earth is the physical place where you and I will live. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when he came to heaven, he used the word plural. Heavens means that the spirit realm is very diverse. Are you understanding me? Yeah, the spirit realm is very, very diverse. So, there are different dimensions of the spirit realm. Today, we have demonic spirits occupying some realms of the spirit. And at the time God was creating the heavens and the earth, there was no devil. There was no demon. The devil came later. But at this time, there was no devil. There was only God. Amen. That's why Satan can never be greater than God. He can never be bigger than God. He can never be stronger than God. Because God was there long before he arrived. And it was God who created him as an angel, as a good person with supernatural powers to serve God and serve his purpose. He rebelled against God. So he's still a created being of God. That is why if you have God on your side, there is no way Satan should be able to defeat you. Yeah, because God is stronger than the devil. Hallelujah. God is stronger than witches. So if witches are worrying you and you have God on your side, you shouldn't be crying. You shouldn't be crying. You should know that the one that is on your side is stronger than the one that is against you. That is why the Bible said, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It's God said, fear not, because I am with you. The one who created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2 says that the earth was without form. That means that the earth had no form. The word form there means shape. It means structure. So there was a time when the whole earth, there was complete chaos. There was no organized structure or system in place. There was nothing like the sun rising and setting. There was chaos. Hallelujah. Yeah, there was no order. The earth without form and void. The word void, that means empty. It means that there was a time the earth was empty. Nothing good existed. And darkness was on the face of the deep. So, can you consider the earth in a state of chaos, darkness, and empty? There was nothing. Nothing good to write home about. Now, the question is that the kind of earth God created? That is an important thing, you know, because look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form. So, verse 2 did not say anything about the heavens. Suddenly, it began to talk about the earth, and the earth is so full of chaos, darkness, and empty. Most theologians believe that between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2, something happened. And that something that happened is the reason why it is believed that a good God who created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1 could not have created an earth that is chaotic, empty, and full of darkness. He said, why do you say God could not have done that? Because in verse 3, we see God begin to recreate everything again. Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. Thus God saw the light that it was good. That means he's not the one who created the situation in verse 2. Do you agree? Look at verse 2 again. He said, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters. So, it is believed that between Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2, that was when the rebellion of Lucifer took place in heaven. And Satan was cast out of heaven to the earth. Hallelujah. And when he fell on the earth, everything God created, he messed it up. So let's read that event in Revelation chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Let's move to verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. War broke out at where? In where? Heaven. Now bear Genesis chapter 1 in mind, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And war broke out at where? In heaven. This scripture tells me that Satan is not intimidated by anybody. Number 2. Satan will fight everywhere, including church. The Bible said there was war in heaven. Do you know who caused the war? It was the devil. And do you know who he waged war against? God himself. Lucifer was so determined that he can overthrow God and win power and become the ruler of the universe. Can you imagine? So that same guy would try anything against you. Now, the downfall of a man is when anyone thinks he has become so powerful that Satan is scared of him. You see many people who fail. That's where they got to. Never underestimate Satan's determination. He's a very determined fighter. He loses every day, but he's still tenacious. He's audacious. He's stubborn and determined. He never quits. Hallelujah. Yeah. So if he fought in heaven, he will fight in your house. He will fight in your home. He will fight in your business. He will fight in your office. One thing he's good at, he fights every day, fighting. Fighting against people. Anywhere he's fighting, his target is one thing, to gain control. To gain what? To gain what? Yeah, the devil doesn't fight for nothing. He wants to take control. One way you can tell that somebody is possessed or being used by a demon is one word, control. The Spirit of God never tried to control people. Do you know? The Holy Ghost, he leads people. He guides people. He teaches people. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit, he leads, he guides, and he teaches you. Jesus said, by the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. But a demon, when he comes, want to control your life. And anybody who seeks to control people is demon possessed. So watch out. Anybody that wants to take up authority, you know, every place you find yourself, you will see people who are not at the rightful place of authority, but they want to take up authority by force. It's a symptom. And war broke out in heaven. Now, let's see how the battle happened. They said, Michael and his angels fought with who? The dragon. Who do you think this dragon is? Satan. All right? It means that Satan manifests characteristics of a dragon, which I will ask you to go and read more about. Okay? But the Bible describes him as a dragon. In Genesis, the Bible described him as a serpent. But here, he has grown beyond serpents. He's now a dragon. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Do you see? Now, where is God in this battle? God did not fight at all. Why? Because Satan was not in his class. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yeah. God did not fight. God sent his angel. Said, Michael, mobilize your people. Go deal with him. This guy is far below me. You know what it means? It's not every battle is worth your attention. There are certain things you don't waste your time on it. It's not every battle you must fight. And when you decide not to fight certain battles, it doesn't mean you are weak. It means you are smart. If you are strong, it doesn't mean you have to display your strength everywhere. You display your strength when it is worth it. So God did not engage in this fight at all. So who fought for God? The angels. The angels. Because at that time, we haven't arrived yet. And the dragon fought back. So when you knock him, he fights back. He's a fighter. When you fight him, he fights back. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the Bible said in verse 2 that when Michael and his angels fought the dragon, what did the dragon do? They fought back, but they did not prevail. So it means that if I fight the devil and he fights me back, he will not prevail. So I don't expect to beat the devil and he not try to also want to beat me. But I also know that at the end of the day, he cannot defeat me because he will not prevail. Amen. He said, but they did not prevail. Neither was a place found for them in heaven any longer. It means that when you see the devil fighting in your domain, your environment, it is your duty to drive that devil out. Do you know what God did when Satan rose against him in heaven? Do you know what God did? God threw him out of heaven. When you see the devil manifesting, operating anywhere in your environment, you have to fight that devil and throw him out of your environment. Amen? Because if you entertain him, he will cause harm. The only demon that are still causing harm in your home, in your marriage, in your business, in your career, your finances, are the ones you are allowed to stay. God didn't say, oh, don't mind him, leave him. He's powerless, he can't do anything. I've heard many people talk like that. So don't mind the devil, he can't do anything. Are you sure? God didn't say, oh, leave him, don't mind him, he can't do anything. God didn't say that. He said, go and drive him out, throw him out. Hallelujah. Throw him out of your environment. You can't be coexisting with demons in a place and expect to have peace. He won't let you have peace. So they cast him out. Verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels was cast out with him. So God did not only cast the devil out. He said, all his angels, let them follow. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now has come what? Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now, when Satan was cast down, then there was a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation has come. That means that until you cast him out, you can't say, now I have salvation. Now I have freedom. Now everything shall be well. No, it shall be well after you have driven the devil out. Amen. You drive him out because he accuses them before God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. Why rejoice? Because the guy is no more there. Amen? The guy is no more there. So, there is joy in heaven. Hallelujah. And you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So think about this. Once upon a time, there was a rebellion in heaven. And to deal with that rebellion, God empowered his angels to drive out all those rebellious angels who are now manifesting as demons. They came on the earth, created, caused all the havoc on the earth. That is what we see in Genesis 1 verse 2. So the Bible says that God decided to do something about what the devil has messed up. Amen. God decided that he will recreate the earth and redesign it even better than what he did before. And the Bible said that in order for God to do that, verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the earth is without form. It means that the earth is full of chaos and empty and full of darkness. Now, God wanted to change all this and make the earth a beautiful place. You know why? Because he had mankind in mind. He was wanted to create a human being that will live on earth and enjoy the earth. In order to do that, God decided to recreate the earth. But the process of recreation started with the Spirit of God moving. The New King James said, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, because water has covered the whole of the earth. So the Spirit of God was hovering. The amplified version of that. The earth was without form and empty, and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of every great deep. The Spirit of God was moving. So God released the Holy Spirit to begin to move upon the whole earth. Hallelujah. But his movement is also described as he was hovering. You know, when a helicopter is moving around a particular place, we say that it's hovering. When a bird or an insect, any flying creature is moving over a particular place, we say that it's hovering. One important thing about that word is that whatever is hovering creates an effect. For instance, when a helicopter is moving over a particular place, the wind of the helicopter's blade, okay, the wind that it creates has an impact on the surface that is the helicopter is hovering upon. All right. But the Bible also described the movement of the Holy Spirit not only as hovering, but it also said he was brooding. The word to brood means to sit on something and inject life into it. So we talk about the hen who sits on its eggs for a number of days, and suddenly life is activated in an egg. So when we say something is brooding, it means that it is injecting life. So the Holy Spirit began to move upon the whole earth, and he was brooding over the earth like a hen sits on the eggs. Amen. Yeah, we all know that when a hen lays eggs and there's not brood on it, it cannot hatch into chicken. Is it true? Yeah. And when you leave that egg for a long time, it will spoil. Is it true? But what is so important about a hen sitting on an egg and suddenly life comes into the egg and chicken are hatched after 3 weeks? That is very mysterious, but that is the work of God. But the Bible said the Holy Spirit has the ability to brood over a place, and everything that is dead will come back to life. You know, the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the waters. Why? Because everything Satan has messed up, the Spirit of God began to inject life as he was moving over the place. Amen? And that move of the Spirit over that space created an atmosphere for God to create the earth again. From this scripture, we can see that it is very easy for God to do new things in places or in individual lives when people know how to create an atmosphere of the presence of God in a place. The Spirit of God was moving over the place. And then verse 3 says that God began to speak. And everything God said began to happen. Hallelujah. But the person who was making the things happen was the Spirit of God that was hovering over the place, moving over the place. And so God began to speak. And when God spoke, it happened. Everything he said, it happened. then he will come back and look at what has happened and say, this is very good. And then the following day, he will say something else. Amen? So, I want us to look at the fact that God is very concerned about the kind of atmospheres we create around our lives, the kind of atmosphere we create around the places where we live, because that becomes the breeding ground for events to occur. The atmosphere of a place determines the most predominant activity that occurs at a place. Whatever is most likely to always happen in this place depends on what kind of atmosphere we have here. Hallelujah. Your home, the kind of atmosphere in your house determines the most predominant activity. When I say the predominant, it means the most common things that you see all the time. So if you don't like the things that are happening around you, you need to first check what kind of atmosphere you are creating. Hallelujah. So if an atmosphere is filled with serious demonic activity, most of the times you scarcely see God doing anything at a place. Hallelujah. Most of the times. And so I want to show you a few things in the scripture that every now and then, God wants you to create an atmosphere of his presence everywhere you are. Amen. So that the atmosphere you create will impact positively on the expectations that you have in life and the things you want to see happen, because atmosphere is created. I said atmosphere is what? It's created. It doesn't just happen. It's created either by people, either by God himself, or by the devil. Here we see that God doesn't like what was happening. He wanted to change it. So he created his own atmosphere. How did he do it? He released the Holy Ghost to begin to move. And he was hovering. And he was brooding. And it was only after the Spirit of God had started moving, hovering, and brooding that God spoke. So I'll show you a few examples in the Bible how certain things happen easily because of atmosphere. How certain things are difficult to happen because of atmosphere. One of the very important things about fasting and prayer is that it helps you to be able to engage the Spirit of God. Very important. It helps you to engage the Spirit of God to create your own desired atmosphere. Most of the times, you know, as you move from place to place, you will hear an important word. If you're a very mature Christian, you will hear about territorial influence. When we say territorial influence, it means that the predominant spirit that rules in a place. So you move from place to place, you will see that life is different as you move from one place to another. Do you know this is true? That's why some of you, you are very good Christians in Accra, but as soon as you hit your village, you drink. Because you are in a different, you are in a different territorial influence. You drink easily without any break. Some of you, when you get to your village right now, certain things that are very ungodly, you will still do it. Because it's not just because you come from there. It's because the territorial influence controls human activity. So some people, you can never change their behavior until you change their location. Okay, you just have to move them from the wrong places to the right place. And a lot will change because predominant activity of a place is most of the time controlled by spirits. So in the same way, there are certain houses when you enter, certain things are very, very natural. Because of the kind of spirit that rule in the house, certain activities are very natural. It could be good, it could be bad. So atmospheres are very serious things. There are certain communities around the world. You can tell specific things that happen. There are certain places that when you enter and you are a lady, you are most likely to practice prostitution because there is a spirit controlling that community so strong that prostitution is no more something frowned upon. It's normal. And every lady is into it. And there's nothing wrong with it. But you try to introduce the same lifestyle in another place and it's frowned upon because the spirit doesn't have jurisdiction in that place. So you will see different human behaviors in different localities as you move from place to place. Because the territorial spirits, they build up a stronghold and they create an atmosphere. It has a strong, compelling influence on everybody. But the good thing is that when it comes to your individual life and your home, all right, and everything that belongs to you, you have the upper hand. You have the authority to decide what kind of atmosphere exists in your home, in your life, and every environment that you find yourself in. You have the ultimate authority. So whatever atmosphere exists where you are, you allowed it. Hallelujah. So how do you create the right kind of atmosphere? Number one, prayer. 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 Let's say prayer and fasting. Number two, faith. Number three, words. Words create atmosphere. Amen. Number four, music. Number five, association. So you will need to check your prayer life. You will need to check the things you say, belief systems. Hallelujah. You will need to check the music. Let's look at prayer first. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Jesus took three people, Peter, James, and John, to the mountain. One thing what you get to see about Jesus' life is that he doesn't pray with everybody. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus has a very, very dynamic prayer life, but he doesn't like to pray with everybody. He had multitude of disciples, and then he had 70 of them that once in a while he sent them out to preach. Then he, out of the 70, he had 12 that he ordained as apostles. Hallelujah. But even the 12, he doesn't go to pray with all the 12 all the time. He takes only the three. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this particular day, he took three of them to the mountain, which is called the Mount of Transfiguration, very, very tall mountain. I don't know how Jesus climbed that mountain to go and pray, because to even go in there with a car is very tedious. But, well, the Bible said they went. Verse 2, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, now, the Luke account give you more clarity. The Bible said that when they went, they were praying, and after praying for some time, Peter, James, and John fell asleep. And Jesus kept praying, and then Elijah and Moses appeared. And the Bible said Jesus was transfigured. His whole dress was shining, and a whole lot happened.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.